Okay, so we got to the last line of Chesman Beis. The Gemara had given four different reasons as to why it's usher to get married on Chol Hamoed. One reason was because Ein Marvin Simcha V'Simcha. Number two was because it says V'Chagecha L'Bi Yishtecha. And number three was because of Tircha. And number four was because you're going to delay the mitzvah Pir Rivia. So the Gemara, the very last line, says Meisvi asks the following question: Kol Elush Amru Asun Lisa B'Moed. All those mentioned in the Mishnah that were usher to get married on Chol Hamoed, Mutarin Lisa Erev Haregel. So they're permitted to get married Erev Haregel. So you can marry someone for the first time on Erev Haregel. Says the Gemara, this seems to be a kashya l'kula. This is a question to each of them. So the Gemara says, no, it's not. Because, lo kashya. L'man damar mishim simcha. The one who says simcha, so you're going to tell me, so it's still going to be a simcha because the Sheh Brachos continue 7 days into Yantiv. No, because Iker simcha, Chad Yomahu. The first day, the Yom HaChuppah, that's where the Iker Simcha is. So that Simcha is going to take place on Erev Regel. All the additional 6 days of Shvas Yomei Simcha is not that much of a Simcha. It's not going to impose on the Simcha Regel. So according to that Mandamar, it's fine. And Mandamar Mishum Tircha, the one who thinks it's about issue of Tircha, and don't you have 7 days of celebration? So all the Sheh Brachos is going to require organizing and preparing food, and that's going to be a Tircha, which is Asr and Chol Hamoed. The Gemara says here too also, Iker Tircha Chad Yomahu. The Iker Tircha is really the day of the Chuppah, and the other days is much less Tircha, and that will not be a problem of violating Melach and Chol Hamoed. And number three, according to Lamand Amar, Mishum Bitul Pirivya, the Chad Yom Lo Mashi Inchi Nafshu. When it comes to the issue of Pirivya, so back then they didn't have to plan, 2 years before to have a wedding date. They were able to prepare like a few months before him. So they said, let's get married Chol Hamoed Pesach. So let's aim for first day Chol Hamoed Pesach. Now, first it doesn't work out, we'll get married the next day, Chol Hamoed Pesach. They had 5 days to choose from. And when it came to Sukkot, they had 6 Chol Hamoed days to choose from. They didn't have to plan 3 months in advance. They could just say around that time period. But if they're going to say, let's get married Erev Regel, so what happens, let's say something comes up and they can't get married Erev Regel, that means they waited the whole year because they can't get married the next day and they have to get married in Chol Hamoed. There's not that many options to work with. There's just one day they're looking for. So no one's going to wait, push you off the marriage if there's just one day and you're going to miss an opportunity. So therefore, that wouldn't be a concern of missing period review. Okay. Nagmar is going to tell us, what is the source of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha? The Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha Minolan. How do we know this? Mark quotes the pasuk in Melachim regarding Shlomo HaMelech, says, Vayas Shlomo Beis Ahi, when Shlomo completed the building of the Beis HaMikdash, he made a big Beis Ahi as a chag, he made a yantif. V'chol Yisrael amo imo kahal, and everyone, all of Klai Yisrael with him, Gadol Milavo Chamas Anachal Mitzrayim, everyone from the different borders of Eretz Yisrael, they all came forward Lifnei Hashem Elokeinu, Shivas Yamim, the Shivas Yamim, they celebrated 7 days, and then they celebrated another 7 days, and totaling Arba Asar Yom, says the Pasuk. Now, what were the double 7 days? Because the celebration started taking place on Zion Tishrei, and it carried through Yom Kippur, as we'll see, and ended Yud Dalet Tishrei. That was the celebrations of the Beis HaMikdash. And then Tesvav, they had 7 days of Sukkot. So that's what 7 and 7. So the Gemara says, what's the Raya? V'im Isa d'marvin Simcha b'Simcha. If one would allow for mixing one Simcha with another Simcha, Yibayle Limintar Arachag. They should have delayed the celebration to the Beis HaMikdash until Chag Sukkot, Umavid Shival Hachal Hach, and they could have doubled up and had 7 days of celebration for both Sukkot and for the Simchas Beis HaMikdash. So, well, what's the value? Now, you can't just say that you push it off just for no reason. There must be a good reason why to push it off. So, Tosus writes, Ibayle Lemintar Ad Hachag. It's a lot to take off 14 days straight from work. So in order to help them not miss so much work, let them push it off for another week until Sukkot, and then have things, both Sukkot and the Simchas Beis Mikdash, on the same day. The Shita Mikbetza suggests that maybe the reason why they should push it off is in order to have a big Simcha, combining the two together can make even a greater Simcha, a greater celebration. That might be a good reason to push it off. Marsha says, you know why you should push it off? So they wouldn't have celebrations during Yom Kippur. As we'll see, they ate on Yom Kippur. So to avoid eating Yom Kippur, they should have pushed it off. So the number of reasons...
So they were on the regal, and the celebration was in Yerushalayim.
Right, something else. This way they have to go two weeks in Yerushalayim is a lot. So this way they have to go up only one time. So for many, many reasons, there seems to be a good reason to push it off till Sukkot. And had we permitted Marvin Simcha V'Simcha, Shlomo Melech would have done that. The fact that he didn't combine the two simchas together seems to indicate that we say Ein Marvin Simcha V'Simcha. Mar says, no, that's not a raya. Because Dilma, perhaps, Mintar Lomantiran, Vehechad Isrami Avdinan. So maybe perhaps whenever you're not allowed to mintar, you can't be shomer, you can't wait, you can't delay the celebration, and whenever you happen to finish the Beis HaMikdash, you have to celebrate right away, no pushing it off. Now each line, by the way, is a whole nother sugya of this Gemara. So in this line, there's a shach that writes in Hilchos Yerdeo, in Se'echelik Yerdeo, Hilchos Talmud Torah, he writes that... Actually, no, let's wait one more line for this point. So then the Gemara says that you can. So again, you should have. You can't push it off. The Gemara says no. Maybe ibayle lishure porta. Maybe you should leave off part of the binyan beis hamikdash. Don't complete it. Leave off. I don't know, something important, and then it's not complete, and there's no need for celebration. And then comes erev sukkos. Finish the completion, the last hammer blow, and then you could celebrate simchas beis hamikdash on sukkos. Gemara says, when it comes to the binyan beis hamikdash lo masharinan, we don't leave off. When it comes to beis hamikdash, we build it right away. We don't push that off. We want to build it as soon as possible. So on this, the shach writes that he says when a person finishes a masechta, it's appropriate to leave over the last few lines of the masechta to find a very opportune time to celebrate the seam properly. To just finish it and make a seam right away without people, without food, is not such kavod haTorah, so you could push it off. So they say there's a riot from here. Some say that only in this case, by the Beis HaMikdash, are we not allowed to push off the completion of the Beis HaMikdash, but other things, such as a seam of Masechta, one would be allowed to delay the completion of it in order to celebrate it properly. Okay. Then the Gemara says, okay, so we're not allowed to push it off the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara makes another suggestion. Well, maybe... Maybe they should have left off a part of the Beis HaMikdash, which is not quite part of the Beis HaMikdash, but it was still essential to the Beis HaMikdash. What is this Amma Kalya Orev? On top of the, let's see, Rashi explains, Amma Kalya Orev, four narrow lines down, Hagag Kala Umakatzer Lamala Adakama. No, they had slanted roofs like we have, and it gets to a little, very peak at the top, and the top it gets very narrow, to an Amma width. And it was flat. They didn't have a pointy top. Their tops were flat on the very top where they met with each other. And umechapin also sham bebarzel, and they would cover it with barzel bemasmer and nails. Kadeshal yashva orvim alav, so the ravens and other birds don't sit in it. Zel lo chashiv kibinin. You see that many times in Yerushalayim, actually, all over Israel. These little nails sticking out of the roof, so the birds can't come and sit there. So this was something they placed on top of the Beis HaMikdash. Now it wasn't part of the actual binyan, but it was still something that was there. So maybe leave that part off. And the Gemara thinks that leaving that part off wouldn't be a delay in the binyan beis hamikdash, but it would be considered a delay in terms of not celebrating. You couldn't celebrate the beis hamikdash until it was actually complete with those nails. So the Gemara says that no, amakaya oriv tzorach binyan habayis. That's also considered part of the bias. Not exactly sure what that machlokas is about, but it seems to be an interesting one. So then the Gemara says, okay, so what is the raya? There's no raya from Shlomo HaMelech about the... About Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. Because again, the only reason why perhaps he had 7 days prior to Sukkot was because that's when they completed the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So Ella, I'll tell you the Raya. Midmiyaisa Kra, the fact that there's an extra Pasuk, what's the extra Pasuk? Ksiv Arba Asar Yom, it says that they celebrate 14 days straight. Shivas Yomim V'Shivas Yomim Lomeli, why did it say they did 7 and 7 days? We know how to do math. Just say they celebrated for 14 days straight. Or say they celebrated 7 days and another 7 days. Why both those? Shmamina, honey lechud. To tell me they celebrated for 14 days, but there are 7 days that were independent of the other 7 days. Why were they independent? Because they had to be independent, because the concept of Ein Marvin, Simcha v'Simcha. And that's the Raya that's concluded by the Bavli. Now, Tosus, we saw in yesterday's daf, Tosus taught us that there's another Raya from the Yushalmi. This is the Ramban quotes al Torah as well. The Raya is that, Yaakov married Leah and Rachel, so he first married Leah, and then after Sher Brachos, only when Sher Brachos was over, Mole Shavuazos, then he was allowed to marry Rachel. Why couldn't he marry her on the second day? Because each Simcha had to be independent. That was a Raya, according to Yushami, of Ein Marvin Simcha B'Simcha. Okay, the Gemara says, now, Amar of Karnach, Amar of Yochanan, Oso Shana, that very year, of the celebrations of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, Lo Asu Yisrael Es Yom HaKippurim. Klai Yisrael did not keep Yom Kippur that year. And they were very scared that maybe they were chayv to be wiped out for eating in Yom Kippur. Chiv Kares. Yatsa Baskal, out came a voice from heaven. Amr Lahem, Kulchem Uzumanim Lechai Olam Haba. All of you are worthy of going to Olam Haba. So, the Machokes, Rabbeinu Chananel, and the Marsha. What's the Chiddush here? So Rabbeinu Chananel says, because all of them had the Kavanah L'Shem Shemaim. Where is that line exactly? It's worth seeing inside. I think it may it says later on. I think it may have come back to later on. But he says, the Baskal came out. Yeah, I see where it is. Do I see it? I can't find that. But either way, Rabbeinu Chananel says, the reason why they're all worthy of Olam Haba, because they all had Kavanas of the Shem Shemaim. They all had the proper intentions. They thought this was the appropriate way to celebrate it. Marsha says, no, many people had the wrong intentions. They want, oh, this is a great, we can actually eat Yom Kippur. This is fantastic, a great opportunity to violate Yisurim, and everyone else is doing it, so we're okay. It wasn't L'Shem Shemayim. So the Chiddush Marsha says, even those people were also Zocha to Olam Haba, even though they really weren't deserving of it. This particular year, they were. Well, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, everyone there was actually at Tzant. Like everyone there had the proper Kavanas of L'Shem Shemayim. So my Darsha, the Gemara asks, what was the Drasha? What did Shlomo HaMelech, what did the Am Yisrael think, what was the appropriate reason for eating a Yom Kippur that year? So Amru, they said the following, Kal v'chomer, Ma Mishkan, Shein Kedusha Asa Kedusha Olam. Mishkan, which is very temporary, not very, but it was a temporary Kedusha, it wasn't eternal like the Beis HaMikdash. And a Karban Yachid, Docha Shabbos. The Karban Yachid here refers to the Shil Nesim. The Nesim brought Karbanos 12 days straight, including on Shabbos they brought a Karban Yachid. The Isser Skila, Shabbos of course is a violation of Isser Skila. And yet they're able to do it. So when it comes to Mikdash, the Kedusha, so Kedusha's Olam, the base of Mikdash was the eternal Kedusha. Kedusha lasted there forever. And it was bringing of a carbon Tzibur, that's part of the celebration of the carbon Tzibur. And it was only Yom Kippur, the Anishkaris, which is less level than the Skila of Shabbos. Lo Koshin, is it not a Kal V'Chomer that you should certainly be able to violate it as well? So if that sounds like a very sound Kal V'Chomer, Ela Amai Hayudogin, so why were they concerned then that they may have been chayv kares for eating on Yom Kippur?
What's the meaning? Because they did a korban yachid and it's not docha Shabbos.
I mean, normally korban yachid is not docha Shabbos, right. But they brought one anyways in the Mishkan.
Right. And they brought it on their own motive, or Moshe commanded them?
Good question. I imagine Moshe Rabbeinu commanded them. It possibly even a Kadosh Baruch Hu had commanded it. But still we see that it was only a carbon yachid, this is a carbon tzibur, and all the other factors, sounds like there's much more reason to be able to docha Yom Kippur than there was reason to docha the Shabbos in the Mishkan. So if that's the case, the Gemara says, which this sounds like a very good Kal V'Chomer, so my hayudogin, why were they concerned that maybe they were chayv karis? The Gemara says, Hasam tzarech gavoa, hacha tzarech hedyo. Because over there in the Mishkan, it was all the Kabbalahs with the Tzarech Kavoa. They all went to they're all Olos. They all went for Kadosh Baruch Hu. But Hacha here, they were all Chanukah Tzabayis. It was part of the Mishta. It was part of they are celebrating a party here. It was a, Rashi writes, Hacha b'Chanukah Tzabayis, the Hedyot Mishta. The eating, the partying that took place was all personal eating. They ate not from the Kabbalahs. They weren't, they brought the Kabbalahs on Yom Kippur, but they weren't cooking the Kabbalahs. They weren't cooking the meat. All the eating that they were doing was personal celebration. It was, and therefore, that's why they were concerned. So says the Gemara, Hachanami Ma'avir Levit, Michalo Nichle V'lish Lishtei. So here too also, maybe on Yom Kippur, they should have just celebrated. They could have brought Kabbanos, but they should have refrained from eating and drinking. That would have solved the problem. So we had a reason why they could bring the carbon to Seabrook, because we had that great Kal V'Chomer. But in terms of the personal eating and drinking, maybe they should just not have eaten like any other year. Why do they have to eat? Says the Gemara, Ein Simcha below Achila v'Shasir. We don't find anywhere that Simcha does not exist outside the context of eating and drinking. That is part of the definition. That's the way we properly rejoice. So it had to be that way. They had to eat. So the Gemara says, okay, we assumed before that the Mishkan, they brought Karbanos on Shabbos during the celebration of the Mishkan. But the Gemara wants to know, how do we know? What's the source that Mishkan didachi Shabbos minolan? Where do you find, there's no pasuk that explicitly says that Karbanos were brought on Shabbos when they celebrated the Mishkan. The Gemara says, Ilema, if you're going to suggest, because Midichsiv Bayom Harishon, it says on the day one, when they brought the first carbon of the Nesim, that was referring to Sunday. Uvayom Ashvi, it says, that refers to the seventh day, Shabbos, How do you know those refer to the day of the week? Dilma Shvila Karbanos. Maybe it means the seventh day of Karbanos. So maybe they brought from Sunday through Friday, six. They took a break on Shabbos, and then Sunday they brought the seventh day of Karbanos. But not necessarily that they brought on Shabbos. Who says it's talking about the days of the week? So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Krab, because there's another pasuk that says Bayom Ashtei Asar Yom on the 11th day. Now it says the word Yom twice. Bayom Ashtei Asar Yom. Why 2 days in the pasuk? So they say it must be one Yom's there for a drasha. Mayom Kula Ratzuf Af Ashtei Asar Kulam Ratzufim. Just like the day is continuous, the day just goes in order. There's no break in a day. So to the Karbanos is also the days of the Karbanos were continuous days of bringing Karbanos. Where it says, no, maybe Dilma Yomim Haruin, maybe there was a continuous retufin of days that were fit. So it was continuous. All the days, all the weekdays, it was retufin within the weekdays that were able to be brought Karbanos. But it wasn't taking into account Shabbos, where it's usher to bring a Karban Yach. Where it says, no, because there's a Ksiv Karachrina, there's yet another word, another pasuk that has the word Yom Eksha. It says on the 12th day of the Nisim, Bayom Shemasar Yom, the day, Bayom Shemasar Yom. Why twice does it say Yom? So here we say, Ma Yom Kula Ratzuf Af Shemasar Yom Kul Mertzufin. So to tell me that just like a day is continuous, so too the Karbanos Nisim were continuous. Gemara asks the same question, the Dilma, Hachanami Yomim Haruin. Maybe it means here also, the days that were fit, the weekdays were Ratzufin, all the weekdays had continuous spring of Karbanos. Gemara says, no, because Imkain Trey Kralamli. If that were the case, that simply meant the retufin of Ruyin, days that are Ruyin, so why do you have to mention this Yom in two different psukim, repeat it? So it must be to teach me that they were retufin, even through Shabbos, they brought a Karban Yachid. And that was the Raya. Okay. Now the Gemara says, the Mikdash de Doche Yom HaKippur Minalan. How do we know the base of Mikdash was Doche Yom HaKippur? So, firstly, I have to share this because Adam is a big fan of Rav Meir Simcha, of Neshach Chachma. He writes that why did Shlomo Melch, what was the reason why he chose to be Mechanich the base of Mikdash on Yom Kippur itself? Why did he do it in such a way? So he explains, because since they had to be Mekadesh, the Aron, and Bein Habadim in the Aron Kodesh, there's only one way you're allowed to enter into the base of Mikdash. You have to place the Aron inside there. So a part of that celebration, I'm not sure where he elaborates on this.
But Yom Kippur was a specific day, or was one of the 7 days, and it just happened to be in the middle?
It was one of the 7 days. It was in the middle, yeah. So he said the only way, he develops the idea, you have to see it inside better. But when it comes to the Gemara's Yuma, tell us that the only way that your mechanich kelim is through the use of the chelim. The Gemara Yuma, if you remember, tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, he took oil and was anointed and smeared oil over the chelim, and that itself was mechanich the chelim. But Bizman Hazer, we just avodasam zu chanuch avodasam zu chinuchus. I forgot exactly the language of the Gemara, but using the chelim is what really initiated it. So he says you have to use the aron for it to be a full kedusha, to really put it into use. So therefore, only it had to be in a way where it was around Yom Kippur to put the Aron and the Kodesh Kedoshim into use. That's why Dafka was on Yom Kippur. So Gemara wants to know, how do we know that Shlomo HaMelech, where did the line go again? Sorry. Mikdash Shedoch Yom HaKippur Minolan. How do we see that the base of Mikdash was Doch Yom Kippur? Elaim, if you're going to tell me, Midichsev Arba Asayom, that they celebrate for 14 days. If you do simple math, well, 14 days, including Sukkot, that takes you 7 days before Sukkot, that takes you to Zayin Tishrei. Well, Dilma Yom Haruin. Maybe it really means only the days that were fit. So maybe they started celebrating on Vav Tishrei. And they got to Yom Kippur, they paused, and then picked up on Yud Alef Tishrei. So maybe only the fit days, and that was 14 days, but not 14 days consecutively. The Gemara says, no, Gamar Yom Yom Mehasim. We have the Gzer Shava, just like it says Yom by the Mishkan, that it was consecutive days, including Shabbos, so too the celebrations of the Beis Hamikdash was consecutive days, including Yom Kippur. Yotze Baskel, the Baskel, the heavenly voice came out and said, Amra Lahem Kulchem Zumanim L'chai Elam Haba. All you guys are worthy of it. Minolan de Achiluv. How do we know, how the Baisa know that's true, that they were all forgiven? So, at this point, this is the point where the Marsha writes that why do they need Mechila? Didn't we say above that they had a nice sound kalachomer. So either they had a good kalachomer, they didn't have a kalachomer. Either they did something wrong, or they didn't do something wrong. So sounds above, they did something right. So what was the need for the mechila? So this is the Maharsha writes, they need mechila because not everybody did it l'shem shemayim. For the people who didn't do l'shem shemayim, that was the need for mechila. Yes, it was a very sound kalachomer. And for those who had proper kavanos, it was very, very good. Nothing, no need for mechila. It was for those who didn't do it properly, required the mechila. I think there's another answer given also as to why they required mechila. I don't remember. Okay. Oh, there was. Maybe it was Karen Orr said something. Okay, I can't remember what it was. Okay, so the Gemara says, how do we know that they were, that they got mechila, Kadosh Baruch Hu forgave them? So it says the Gemara now, Minolan da achilahu, the Tani Tachlifa taught the following brisa. Uba Yom Hashmini, the eighth day, Shalach Esa'am, Vayivarchu Esa'melech, the eighth day, Shlomo HaMelech had, they gave a bracha to Shlomo HaMelech. Well, first Shlomo sent them off. He said, go back home now, on the eighth day, which I guess turned out to be the first day of Sukkot, it seems. They all blessed the king. Vayelchu lo aleim, they went back to their tents, Smeichem, very happy, Tovei Lev, Kol HaTova, they're very happy, all the goodness Hashem asa Hashem lo David, that Hashem did to David, Avdo, Uli Yisrael Amo. So, what's the drasha here? Gemara says, lo aleim, what does it mean they went back to their tents? Shehalchu, Matsu, Neshem, Batara, they all went home, and they found their wives were all Tahar. Smeichem, was Smeichem, and Shinenu, Mizivah Shechina, they all had this certain simcha, they're able to enjoy the Zivah Shechina at that time. What does it mean, Tovei Lev in the Pasuk? Shekol Echad Ve'echad Nis'abra Isho Be'ben Zachar. Each of their wives became pregnant with a male child. That's what was the good, Tov. Kol HaTova, what does Al-Kol HaTova mean? What was the good, Tova? Sheyotza Baskol Va'amr Lehem Kulcha Mezumonim L'chayim Abba. That's what the Tova, they heard a good Shmua, this good news that they all were Zocha to Olam Haba. What does it mean, L'David Avdol Yisrael? They're very happy with the good that was good to, that was done to David and that was done to all Yisrael Imo. Bishmal Yisrael Amo, I understand that case. This was answers our question. Why were they all happy? They were happy what the news was that was reported about Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, that they were forgiven for the sin of eating Yom Kippur. So that makes a lot of sense. That answers our question. That's the source that Klal Yisrael was forgiven for that year. But the Gemara continues and wants to know, what was the good that was done towards David? David already was Nifter. So what was the good that was done to David? The Gemara says, Amar Rav, Yehuda Amar Rav, the moments that Shlomo wanted to start bringing the Aron into the Beis HaMikdash, what happened? So, Davku Sharm Zelazah, the gates clinged to each other and stuck. Amar Shlomo Esrim Arbat Rananos, he sang 24 songs in order to get it to open. V'lo Nena, he wasn't answered. Pasach V'amar, he said, Su Sharm Reshechem, he wasn't answered. V'lo Nena. Kevin Shamar, once he finally said, Hashem Elokim Al Teshev Pnei Mishichecha, Hashem, please don't turn away your face from your anointed one. Zichu l'chasli David avdecha, remember the chesed of your servant David. Miyad nene, right away, by mentioning the zichus of David, he was answered, the gates opened up. Bo sashah, that moment, nefchu pnei sone David, the enemies, the ones who hated David Melch, turned to kishule kader, like the bottom of a pot, which is black. V'yadu ha'kol shemachalo kadosh baruch hu osa oven, it was apparent to everybody that David Melch was in fact forgiven for that sin. What's Osa Oven? Rashi writes. Does Rashi write? I think it's referring to the story of Bathsheba.
Sure. Bathsheba.
Okay, Bathsheba. I don't see that mentioned in Rashi, but I assume that's what it's referring to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the
Mefarshim. Oh, the Mefarshim say it. Okay. So this is how we see. This is the source again we brought to see that Klaisa was forgiven for that year. Why were they needed forgiving? Why did they need Bechila? We said before because the Marsha thought that not everyone had the proper Shem Shemayim. Now, Rabbi Yonasan ben Asmai, Rabbi Yehuda ben Gerim, Tanu Parshas Nedarim, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. They were learning Mseches Nedarim in the house of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Iftar, Minei, they left. They were done learning from Rabbi Beorsa at night. And Litzafra, in the morning, Hadar, become Iftar Minei. They came back to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai and said bye again. They read, said bye the previous night, and then came back the next morning to say bye once again. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai said, if Teresa Minei Barsa did not say bye to me already last night, why did you come back again this morning? Not that I mind, but what was the reason for it? Amulei, they said to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Limatatenu Rabbeinu taught us, Talmud Sheniftah Mirab, leaves his Rebbe, V'lan ba'oso, he end up sleeping over in that city. Sarach liftar mimenu pam acharas, he needs to leave and farewell yet a second time in the morning. How do we know? What's the source? Shinemar pasuk from our discussion. B'yom ha'shmini shalachas am, the eighth day Shlomo HaMelech sent everybody home. V'yivarchu as HaMelech, and they said thank you Hashem, and they blessed the king. Uksiv, then later on it says, where's this pasuk with respect to the other pasuk? This is just a... Okay, I'm not sure. This is, again, different. Okay, Divrei Yamim and Malachim are complementary to each other. They fill in some of the gaps. So I guess if you're figuring out doing all the math, this happened during that same year. And it says, it was the 23rd, which is the last day of Sukkot. When Sukkot is over, that's when he sent them off. Well, which one was it? Was it the 8th or was it the 23rd? So Ella, Mikan, Latamid Hanifta, Mirabo, Vlama Osair, Tsarach Lifta Mimenu Pam, which was the first day of Sukkot. 23rd is the 23rd of the month. So even though 8-23 sounds 15 days apart, I think it's really the 8th day was really the 15th of the month. So we see from here, though, when a Talmud, in this case, when Klai Yisrael, they slept overnight, they had to go back and say bye to the king. So to the Talmidim of Rishon Bar Yochai had to also come back and say bye to their Rebbe. So then, Rishon Bar Yochai, Amar Le Levrei, he says to his son, B'nei Adam Haladu Anoshim Shel Tzurahim. These people who just learned about me are people of Tzura, people of great stature. Kolomer Chachamim, says Rashi. They're big, big people. You see, this is an interesting idea that Tzura is very important even when it comes to the Talmud Chacham. And yes and no. The Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about the number of the requirements and qualities needed for a dayan. So one of them is a bali koma, someone who's tall, which is not always the case, especially by a lot of rabbanim. Rav Steinman happens to be very, very short. Rav Chaim Kinesi is very, Rav Moshe Feinstein is very short. So, but bali koma, we see such an Indian. At the same time, the Gemara in Tanis, you might remember the story of Rabbi Shua ben Yochai, was it? Or just Rabbi Shua, who was very ugly, they say. And this daughter of the princess was making fun. How ugly you are, how could it be that such a smart person is such an ugly kli? And she says, what do you mean? Take your wine and put your wine in gold. Okay, let's see what happens. Put it in a nice kli. And she did that, and it ruined everything. So they said, Torah is so much greater when it's something that's ugly. So you have different indications whether a person is Bali Tzura, someone of the appearance, versus someone who doesn't have the appearance. Anyway, so he says to his son, go get a bracha from these individuals. So, Zil Gavain, Deliverach, he went to chase them and wanted to get a bracha from them. Azil, he finally caught up to them. Ashkechinu dekarami kra'adadeh. He saw that they were asking questions from Sukkim, steers from Sukkim. Ksiv, one pasuk says, Peles ma'gal raglecha, v'chol derechecha yichonu. So when a person walks along the way, he should evaluate what mitzvah to do. Look at Rashi. Rashi says towards the bottom, "Palas ma'agal raglecha" means klomer, shakel mitzvos, weigh the mitzvos, v'ayin behen, and investigate ezu mitzvah gedola v'asa gedola. Do which is the better mitzvah? You're given the option of two mitzvos. Which one should I do? Whichever one's greater. But the other pasuk says, back to the Gemara, the last line says, "Uksiv, orechaim pentiflas." The way, lest you evaluate, walk along the way, whatever very karsh bracha presents to you. So. Rashi says, "V'ksiv orechaim pentiflas demashma kol mitzvah shetavu liyotcha." Any mitzvah that's presented to you, I'll say also, do it right away. Beni gadol, beni ketana, regardless of the level of mitzvah that it is, ve'al taniach ketana b'bnei gadol. Don't push off a small one in order to do a greater mitzvah. So it's a steer and psuk. And one pasuk says, choose the greater one. One pasuk says, don't decide. Do whichever one comes. So the Gemara says, lo kasha. Kan b'mitzvah she'efshar lasosa ayde acherim. Kan b'mitzvah she'efshar lasosa ayde acherim. One mitzvah where it's able to be done by other people. One where it's not able to be done by other people. Meaning, the mitzvah that you could pass off to someone else, give him the less mitzvah and you do the greater mitzvah. If it's a mitzvah that you cannot pass off, then you should do whatever mitzvah presents itself first to you. Hadar, then they went to ask another question. Yasu, they sat further, become vaile, they asked the following. Ksiv, one pasuk says, Yikarahi mipninim, v'chol chavetzechol v'yayish v'ba. So that referring to Torah is so dear. And all your chafatzim, all Kadosh Baruch Hu, all your personal, the man's personal desires, is meaningless. But the implication is, ha'chefti shemayim yishuba, but ha'Kadosh Baruch Hu's chafatzim, his mitzvot, as it refers to, does have a value, is of equal to that of Torah. But another pasuk says, v'ksiv, v'chol chafatzim, all desires, both mine and Kadosh Baruch Hu's, all mine and even the mitzvot, Lo Yishuba is not equal to the Afilu Chefti Shemaim, Lo Yishuba. Even the Chefti Shemaim, even mitzvahs are not equal to Torah. So again, the Gemara is both Pesukim are referring to those of equal stature to Torah, or is it not equal to Torah? So Gemara said this. So they answer, same thing. If it's a mitzvah that can be handed off to somebody else, so you should continue to learn, because that's of greater stature than that of mitzvahs, and pass the mitzvahs off to somebody else. But if it's a mitzvah that nobody else can perform, then better for you to not do the Torah and to perform mitzvahs. Okay, there's a lot to be said here about mitzvah she'efshar la'asos aydei achem and e'efshar la'asos aydei achem. The Tosfos here, a lot of Rishonim discuss this topic. Either way, finally the two Talmidim, the Rabbanim, they look at the son of Rabbi Shimon Yochai and say, my boy Sacha, by the way, what are you doing here? What brings you? So Amr Lehu, the Amr Li Abba Zil Gavayu, Deliverach. My father says, should come get a bracha from you guys. He said you guys are big people. So Amr Lehi, they said the following bracha. You should be able to plant, but not be able to cut the and reap benefits from the growth. Tile of Lotepik, you should be able to bring in, but not take out. And this is a reference, he thought, was a reference to merchandise. You should be able to buy that inventory, but you can't sell the inventory. And Tipak Lo Tile, you should be able to... Rashi says... You should be able to give out merchandise, but you should be able to bring the merchandise back in. Something along those lines. And Licharev Beischa, your house should be destroyed. Leisav Ushbisach, and you should sit in a temporary place of dwelling. And Levalva Psurcha, your table should be completely a mess. Losechsa Shasa Chadasa, and you should not be able to see a new year. So, not the best of brachas. So, Kiyasa Lagabi Avu, he went back to his father a little bit upset. And Malay. Says his father, "Lo mi boy devruchel lo mivarchin." Not only did they not give me a bracha, about suri tzurin, they gave me a lot of trouble and cursed me. Samarlei, Rabbi Shmuel Yochai said to him, "My amrulcha." What did they say? Hachi v'hachi amrulu. They said to me the following. So Rabbi Shmuel Yochai says to his son, "Amarlei hanach kula bruchas aninu." Those are all brachas. You misunderstood. What were the brachas? So he explains, "Tiz v'lo techsad." You should be able to plant but not cut. This means totally bottom lo yamusu. You should be able to have children, plant them, but not cut them down. That was a bracha. Tile lo tepek, that you should bring in and not take out. Tile kalasa, you should be able to bring in a daughter-in-law. Lo limusa, and the shisha shouldn't die. Lo limusa bincha, your son shouldn't die. Delifkan, that he should go out. That you should have to kick out your daughter-in-law if she comes into your house. Tepek lo tela, that you should take out but not bring in. Means, tolid bansa, you should have a daughter. Lo yamusu. Guvrayu, and her husband shouldn't die, so she didn't have, once you send her off to get married, she shouldn't have to return back to your house. So you send her off and never have to return. That was a bracha. Ulahadru veisach, and have to go back to you. Lichro beischa, lishav ushpisech, that you should destroy your house and sit in a place of a temporary dwelling. Dehai alma ushpizach, this world is a temporary dwelling. Vahi alma beisa, and your house should be the world to alam haba, meaning your house in this world should be destroyed. And you should only sit here temporarily in order that you should be able to live and in the old haba. Dichsev, kirbam basemo leolam al tikre kirbam ela kvaram. Meaning, this world is your kever. This world is a temporary place. You should not live here forever. You should live forever in olam haba. That was the bracha, and the vava psurcha that your table should be a mess. Bivnei bivnante, with children, sons and daughters. Your house should be upside down. Craziness should be going on in your house in a good way. With a lot of children, a lot of the craziness going on in your house in a good way. It wasn't mean lo sechse shasa chadasa lo tamas anschav lo tinasav insachrisi. You shouldn't see a new year, meaning your wife shouldn't die in order that you should marry another wife and have another new shana rishona, if you will. So all these things which were said very cryptically was really all meant to be a bracha, and that's how it was explained. Okay. Gemara has a story of Rav Shimon ben Chalafta, Iftar Minei de Rav. So he was once leaving the presence of Rav. Amar Lei, Avua, maybe not Avua, he says, Zil Gave de Livruch. So Rav says to his son, go get a bracha from Rav Shimon ben Chalafta. So Amar Lei, Rav Shimon ben Chalafta gave the son of Rebbe, Rav, the following bracha. He ru'a, it should be the will of Hashem, lo tivayish, lo sispayish. You shouldn't be embarrassed and don't embarrass others. Very simple line. Also, Gavi Avua, so we went back to his father, Rav. Amalei, my Amalacha, what do you say? Amalei, Milan Ba'alma, he said just, I don't know, some words, nothing really special. Damar Li, so, that he said to me. Amalei, Baracha Birchasa, Divarcha Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Yisrael. He gave the same exact bracha that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael. It wasn't just Stam Milan Balman. This is a bracha. Where do we find that Kodesh Baruch Hu gave such a bracha to Klal Yisrael? Tanabag Dichsiv V'achaltim Achol V'Sava. You should eat and be satisfied. V'hilaltim V'gomer. V'lo Yevushu. This is a pasuk that's found where? In Yoel. V'lo Yevushu Amei Li'olam. My nation should not be embarrassed. V'idatim Ki B'karav Yisraelni. And everyone should know that I am among Klal Yisrael. And v'lo yavushu ami li'olam, and they should not be not embarrassed and not be embarrassed. So we see from this a very, very fine bracha. It's a very big mila not to be embarrassed and not to embarrass others. So don't take that lightly. It was not milim ba'alma. This was in fact a bracha. And this ends our discussion of I guess somewhat of an agadata. The Gemara now goes back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us that in Chol HaMoed, Osa Isha Tachshita, a woman's permitted to do Tachshita. She could do makeup, she could wear jewelry. So Tana Rabbanan, Elu Hein Tachshitei Nashim, these are the following considered the makeup of the dressing up of women. Kocheles is some type of eyeshadow that went around the eye. Upokeses is, according to Rashi, they would comb and part the hair. Mavira Sraka Paneh, that refers to placing some type of what I would call blush, some red paint on her face. Ikadamar, others say, Mavera Sraka Paneh, Shalmata wasn't referring to the face and the head, but a nice way of saying Osa Makam in the area below, that's what it refers to. And they'd place some type of material there, Rashi explains, to remove the Seyar from the Osa Makam. Mark goes on to tell a story of Devesa de Rav Chista, the wife of Rav Chista, Mikasha Banfei Kalasa. She was getting dressed up and putting makeup on in front of her daughter-in-law. Yosef Rav Huna Bar Chinina, Kamadir Rav Chista. Rav Huna was sitting in front of Rav Chista. Yosef Vekamar, he says, and seeing his wife all dressed up, he says to Rav Chista, Lo Shano Eliyalda, we only permit a younger lady to get dressed up on Chol HaMoed, about Zikena Law, but for an older woman, what's the need for her to get all dressed up for? She's already old. So, Amalei, Salukim, what do you mean? He says, Afilu Imcha, even your mother's allowed to get dressed up. Afilu Ema Imcha, even your grandmother's allowed to get dressed up. Whoever said such a restriction that only young ladies are allowed to get dressed up on Chol HaMoed? Afilu Medesak Kivri, even though she's standing perhaps on the, on her deathbed. Damri Inshi, Bashisin Kibashish Lakal Tavla Rahata. That a 6-year-old woman is like a 6-year-old girl who runs off to the bells of a wedding hall. Rashi explains that Lakal Tavla Rahata, Perish Kishkit Hazug, the banging of the bells, Rotzalomar, Mine Zemer Behilula, the instruments that are playing, the music that's playing at a simcha, Vichhecha de Rahata, Yal de Bashish, Lakal Hilula, just like a young girl runs to Lakal, the voice, the sounds of a Hilula. Hachi Avdi Bashish, and so to a 6-year-old does. V'hachanami Mikashta. So we see from here that yes, even an older lady wants to get dressed up and look pretty for Chol HaMoed. So in fact, it's permitted for all ages to get dressed up. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah told us Lo Sasad. He said that he put a restriction on putting any of this type of plaster in a woman's face to either it was to remove the hair or to make the skin look nice. That was Usr, because he said because it stays on for a few days and it creates a lot of tsar. It's uncomfortable. She looks embarrassed. I don't think they walked around with the cream on their face for a few days. They probably stayed inside the house. They probably stayed inside the house a lot, but it was uncomfortable. So he did not permit that to be done on Yantif, on Chol HaMoed. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Isha Lo Sasad, Bipnei Nivahula. Bryce says that she shouldn't put this type of plaster on her face because it's a nivel. It's disgusting. So he permits, however, if it's a type of plaster that can be removed either later on that day of Chol HaMoed or a later day of that Chol HaMoed, meaning day one of Chol HaMoed she puts on this plaster and day three she removes it, in such a case he would permit it. Why? Shafa pisha mitzira hi achshav. Even though right now it's troubling to her and it's disgusting for her, however, smeich hi l'achar zman, after a few days it's going to be simcha, and on Chol HaMoed itself she's going to experience that great simcha, so it's worth putting in the tsar now to get the simcha later on. Gemara challenges this idea. Umi isle l'Rabbi Yehuda hai svara. Does Rabbi Yehuda really have such a svara that we look to the future? We find in the following mission of Avodah Zarah that he only looks to the now, not to the future. The Hatzan, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, this is talking about, by the way, the beginning of Avodah Zarah, discuss what's permitted, what kind of business is permitted, a Jew and a non-Jew, around their holidays. any business that you do, they get so happy that either they use the money to buy karbanos for their avodah zarah, or they just get extra simcha the fact that they're doing business with a Jew and taking money from the Jew. So certain things are permitted, certain things are not permitted 3 days before and 3 days after their holidays. So in that context, Rabbi Yehuda says, Nifran mehen bipnei shemetzer. You're allowed to pay back, you could collect the debt from the goy because they don't want to pay money up. That's permitted because that's going to give them a lot of pain during the yontif, which is something we want to do. We don't want to give them simcha, we'd rather give them tsar. But the Chacham respond back, and Amrulal, they say back to Rabbi Yehuda, Afa pi shemetzer achshav smechu lachazman. Even though right now they're very upset to give up the money and pay the debt up, after when they look at their books and realize they have no debt, they're debt-free, that gives them simcha later on. Interesting discussion how one takes into account debt. Some people like to have debt, this way they have more money available. If people don't like debt, then something's sitting over their head, depending on what kind of person you are. So that seems to be the debate here. Chacham say, right now no one wants to pay the money, no one wants to pay the mortgage, but when the 30 years are up and they have no mortgage left, they're very, very happy that there's no debt. And therefore, they thought it was usur to collect debt from a goy during their holiday season. So, either way, we see from here that Rabbi Yehuda was thinking for the now. Rabbi Yehuda didn't think, in the case of avodah zarah, he didn't think what was there, what it's going to be in a few days when they're happy. Right now, we look at right now, this moment, there's tsar, there's aggravation, there's grief, so we could collect the money. So why not the same thing by Chol Moed? Since right now it's uncomfortable to place that plaster on their face, even though later on there'll be simcha, it should look at the now, and then in the now, there's nivel, there's tsar. So you see, Yehuda seems to contradict himself. Enters the Gemara, Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak, Kanach lehalachos Moed. Leave aside Chol Moed. You cannot compare Chol Moed to the other halachas. Why? All the term of melacha that any melacha we're allowed to do on Yom Tov. Remember, the only thing that's awesome on Yom Tov is tircha. Anything that's not tircha, there's nothing to talk about. So only when there's tircha. So tircha is tsar. The only time we permit tircha, we permit tsar and chol moed is when it has an outcome of simcha. So that's the whole nature of chol moed. It's all predicated on tsar that turns into simcha. In general, Yehuda only looks to the now. The case of avodah zarah, he looks to the now. Right now, there's tsar, it's permitted. Chol Moed is different because the whole nature of Chol Moed is that idea of how that will create simcha later on. And that's how we reconcile this steer within Rabbi Yehuda, according to the first explanation. Comes along Ravina. Ravina Amar, Kusi, Linan Piron, Li'ol Meitzar. So Rashi explains this. This is three wide lines down in Rashi towards the end of the line. Rashi writes, Kusi, Li'ol Meitzar, Shepareya. He's always very much troubled when he has to pay the money back. So that's why over there, by the case of the avodah zarah, the non-Jews are always unhappy. He never wants to pay his debts. He'd rather have debts and not have to pay money. And that's why there, Rabbi Yehuda says, it's always tsar. Above, agavi tifel, regarding the removing of the plaster on the face, he does have such a concept that he can look a few days into the future, and that will define whether something's permitted or not. In general, it's the avodah zarah that's the exception. So the first answer said that chol moed was the exception, but the rule is Rabbi Yehuda thinks we always look to the future, look to the now rather. And the second answer thinks that avodah zarah was the exception, but really Rabbi Yehuda thinks we always look to the future. Okay. Says the Gemara now, Amar Rav Yehuda, Benos Yisrael, Shegia Lepirkan, when a Velo Higia Lashanam. A woman who, a girl who reaches puberty, but didn't get to the age. She started young, an early bloomer, so it's uncomfortable for her to look more mature than the other girls. So the Rav Yehuda explains to us that Anios Tofos Osen Besid. So any of the hair which can be seen, which is embarrassing to her, so the poor women, the girls of poor families, would use this type of plaster to remove any hair. Ashiros, the wealthier families, would tofles or some basalts, they'd use some form of flower base removing, and a little bit more, probably more comfortable, nicer, and that's how they would remove any sayar. And Benos Malachim, the princesses, who of course had more money at their hand, they would use the Shemen HaMa'or. They would use this special oil, Shenemar, in Megillas Esther, Shisha Chadashim B'Shemen HaMa'or, that Esther had, smeared herself, anointed herself, 6 months in Shemen HaMa'or. So that's the process of removing the Seyar for Benos Malachim. Gemara asks, "My Shemen HaMa'or, what is this type of oil?" Rav Huna Bar Chiya Amar Satechas. Well, what's Satechas? So Yirmiyah Bar Ami Amar, Shemen Zayis Shelo Hevishlish. It's olive oil that is is extracted from olives that didn't reach a third of its potential growth. So an underdeveloped olive that produces olive oil, that is what gets this thing called tateches, which is also known as shemen hamor. Tanya, the Braisa tells us that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, an piknun is the name of this shemen zayis shelo hivishlish, that did not reach a third of its potential. So it asks Gemara, lama sochin oso? Why would they put oil on their skins? Because shemeshir es hasayar umadin es abasar, because it both removes the any hair and it also makes the skin look thicker, look nicer. Madin like madonim, it makes it look very nice, the skin. So Gemara tells a story that Rav Bibi Havale Barta, he had a daughter, Tafla Eva Aver. So he had her put oil or whatever process one limb at a time to make the skin look very, very nice. So Shakal Badalad Meazuze, when it came time for her to get married, she looked so pretty, she was worth 400 zuz. Normally ksuba is 200, unless it's a kohen. She had the value of a kohen's ksuba of 400 since she looked so pretty. Havahukuzi Bishfavuse de Havale Barta. There was some non-Jew in the same neighborhood of Rav Bibi, and he wanted to do the same thing. And he, put this oil on his daughter, just like Rav Bibi did. And Tafla b'chadazamna, he didn't do Aver, but rather he did the entire body in one shot, Umesa, and she died. So he said, Amar katla Bibi libarti, so he said, made this whole blood libel that Rav Bibi had killed my daughter. So Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Bibi, so Rav Nachman explains, what's the difference? Rav Bibi, d'shasa shichra, so Rav Bibi who drank beer, bain, banta, Tafla, his daughter required required this type of oil removing of the hair. And Rashi explains the last Rashi in the page. But drinking beer thickens makes the hair grow and thickens the skin. So that's what we say, like, you know, drinking beer puts hair in your chest. That's like, or drinking schnapps, something like that. So this is a Gemara. The Gemara says that drinking beer makes you grow a lot of hair. And that makes your skin thicker. So she required to do this. So she had, I guess, more hair, and her skin was thicker, was able to handle the heavy dosage of oil. She also did it only in Aver, as opposed to one shot. However, Anan de losha season shecher, but we, said Rav Nachman in his time, I guess, a later point after Rav Bibi, we who do not losha season shecher, we do not drink beer. Lo bein and banta tafla, our children, our daughters do not require, they do not require this type of hair removal. They don't drink it, they don't need this type of thing.
What is that he had hair that means that it transfers to the daughter?
I guess so. Right, I guess. Or maybe saying that they all drank beer. A lot of the places, they couldn't drink the water. Water just wasn't drinking. It wasn't healthy.
Yeah,
bacteria.
Right, yeah.
So beer became a main... Wine and beer, these things. So I guess where Bibi lived, maybe beer was more common than wine. So they had... beer was the main staple drink. Okay, so we'll stop here a little bit early.